Hi, today is November 18th, 2018. This is Mobius Podcast number 276. I think next week is our 10th anniversary. In any case, I'm Todd Ogasawara, and my good friend John is not here. The good Dr. Westfall is on a super secret mission somewhere, which whose whereabouts cannot be revealed. So I asked Paul Lawler if he could join me, and he was nice enough to say yes. Anyway, hello. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Okay, so here we are. Okay, so that's question number one. Where is John? I don't know. Question number two, but like I said, super secret. Question number two, and I was just talking to Paul about this before we started the podcast, and that is sometime next year, Apple will release the next version of macOS, and I use a MacBook Air to record all this. And when that happens, 32-bit applications will stop working on the Mac. And one of the applications I use is called Levelator. Now, this is an orphan product. Its development stopped around 2012, but it works fine. It doesn't break. It's kind of one of those perfect applications. Perfect except that it's 32 bits. And since the development has stopped, there will not be a 64-bit version. And I need to find software, paid or free, I don't really care, but as long as it's not too expensive, to help with volume leveling. So what that does is when we have more than one person speaking, a Levelator will go into the audio file post-processing and make our volume levels more or less equal. So I don't sound louder than other people because either A, I'm talking louder than they are, or B, because I have a microphone closer to me, or whatever the reason is. Anyway, it does the volume leveling so we more or less sound at the same volume. It turns out to be super valuable. I've listened to my audio files without it, and it's not fun. Anyway, if anybody has any suggestions, let me know, and I would appreciate it. Okay, so a couple of items, Paul, before I start asking you questions. I finally got my Google Pixel USB-C earbuds, and you guys can't see it, but Paul can. It's exciting. My earbuds. So it's only $30, unlike the wireless earbuds, which is like $150, but they're functionally equivalent. So they have the whole, you know, tap to translate and all that kind of good stuff. And when you plug it into an Android, when you plug it into a Pixel device, at least, it says, you know, hey, you've got these earbuds, you want to configure it, and I don't think I finished configuring it, and now it won't answer the question, so I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, they sound pretty good. They fit really well. I'll post a picture of them. Paul can probably see they've got these little loops at the top that lets it fit in your ear really nicely. So I think it locks into. Let's see, what's the top of your ear? The bottom of the ear is called a pinna. I don't know what the top of the ear is called. But anyway, it locks in really well. And for $30, I'm pretty happy. And we'll return to that purchase a little later when I ask Paul some questions.
When you say tap to translate, you mean mm-hmm. like a babblefish?
Like Google Translate.
But in your ear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if somebody's speaking to you, it will do near real-time translation.
So like a babblefish?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, I should try this with Paul next time we get together, since I know you speak multiple languages, unlike myself. any case. The next thing, now, Paul, you are now an iPhone user, right? You don't use Android anymore. Is that correct?
No, I'm bi.
Oh, you have both? Okay, which Android device are you using?
Currently, I have a Moto Z Play.
Oh, that's nice. I've seen that one. Well, had you bought a Pixel, like all Google fanboys do, you would have gotten this week's Google Android Camera Night Sight feature, which took me a while to figure out. I'm still figuring it out, but it can be amazing. It's not perfect, but it can be amazing. There are limitations, as you might guess. But what it does is it lets you take pictures in the dark. I mean, you need a few, you know, photons flying, a few lumens of light, but not a whole heck of a lot. It can do a pretty good job. It doesn't do a good job with animals in motion, for obvious reasons, or anything in motion. But when it works, boy, it is spectacular.
Okay, so I have personal experience with this because I was at a reception last night.
Yeah?
And people were going, oh, take my picture, take my picture. And somebody said, oh, you have the good, I have an iPhone XS Max. And right. So somebody said, oh, you've got the good camera. You take the picture.
Yeah.
And then somebody else said, well, let me try mine.
Yeah.
And they had a Pixel 3.
Oh, nice.
with this night thing.
Right, and night, yeah.
And the pictures that they took looked like it was outdoors in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Instead of inside a reception in a dark room.
In a dim room, yeah. And it is, what did you think of the picture since you saw it?
It was amazing. It's
better than what you can see with your own human eyes.
And you can do some of that in post-processing.
Yes.
It did it all on the fly, in real time.
Right, without any special technical skills, except knowing how to select it. That's exactly. Pretty much the limit of the skills you need, which is pretty neat. I was just watching a video. Gosh, I can't give credit to who it was, but it was a pretty good set of videos on how it works. And apparently it takes lots of photos and then combines them to give you the best possible lighted outcome after, you know, adjusting. Kind of like HDR, except specifically for low light. And by the way, the other thing I found out, I guess I should have known this, but, you know, I've been kind of, I've been very positive on the Google camera and the Pixel 2, which is what I have. I don't have a 3, since I got it last year. And one of the things I noticed was the pictures are often spectacularly clear. And it turns out the reason for that is always shooting in HDR. But a muted HDR, you know, not like the really blown out kind of HDR that some of us are used to, that are, you know, are fun to look at, but they're not really realistic. Right. And this one too is not really realistic because it's much nicer than it probably should be, but it's also shooting in HDR all the time. But yeah, so Night Sight, it's built into the Android camera if you have a Pixel 2 or 3, and to select it is pretty easy. You just turn on your camera app. And there, on the right side, at the bottom, near the bottom of your screen, there's a little label called More. You tap on that, and then you tap on Night Sight, and boom. Now, one thing I have noticed, and I don't know if it's just a Pixel 2 or just my phone or what, but you can't take 2 shots in a row. At least I can't, or I've had problems when I do. So what happens is, I'll take a shot, looks good, maybe not good, but take a shot, it's okay. If I take another shot, everything's blurry, and what I have to do is shift out of night mode and then back into night mode. I don't know why. And like I said, I don't know if it's my Pixel 2, Pixel 3, or just my phone.
That wasn't the case on the Pixel 3 that I saw last night. But although he did have to, it was almost like an old-fashioned photographer where they have to say, don't move.
Yes.
He had to tell everybody, hold really still.
Right. And that is true. In fact, that is the instruction you see on the camera.
Right.
On your screen, it says, you know, hold very still, literally. because, you know, it's trying to get as many photons in as possible. And while it's doing some adjustment on the photographer's hand tremors, you know, and all of us have it's not a tremor, but a little bit of a shake, you know, none of us can hold perfectly still. It can do some math for that. But of course, for people or moving objects, cars, whatever. And or pets, which is what I've been testing it on.
Right.
You know, you can only do so much. I mean, they'll pose, but, you know. Anyway, really, really cool feature. Not perfect. Has limitations. But once you start to learn how those limitations work and work around them, it is fantastic. Okay, next item I have not turned on yet. And if you are on Google Fi, are you on Google Fi, Paul?
No.
If you are on Google Fi, and my Pixel 2 is on Google Fi for its cell phone service, one of the things that Google Fi has available as an option now is a free VPN that is on all the time. I've not turned it on yet. I do have a paid VPN feature that I use on my phone, and so I've not turned it on yet, but I think I'm going to try it. So it's called Google Fi VPN. It's an option within Google Fi, you know, so there's no additional software to install. And it does, like any VPN, it takes about a 10% data hit, which means, you know, your data usage will go up slightly. But if you're, you know, in a public hotspot or you just don't trust your carrier, it's interesting. And you say, well, why wouldn't you trust your carrier? Isn't it Google Fi? Yeah, but Google Fi is actually using, depending on, you know, where you are, Sprint, T-Mobile, and U.S. Cellular. So, you know, Google is a reseller of those things. So they don't really actually have their own network. Whether or not you trust Google is another question. The other thing I learned last night, although I haven't checked it out, is YouTube. YouTube was an old streaming service, but YouTube has been streaming free ad-supported classic movies for the last month. I haven't noticed that.
I didn't know that either till I saw your message.
Yeah. So, and you know, this is, and by classic I mean like Rocky and, you know, those kind of movies. So movies you would recognize. It's not, you know, kind of the artsy movies that you go, I have no idea what this is about. So I'm gonna go take a look at those. But they're free Hollywood movies, you know, not independent indies or something, which I'm sure a lot of people would appreciate. But if you're looking for a movie that you want to see again, I think there's about like 100 of them or something.
That's one of the most annoying things to me with Netflix is
you
see something that reminds you of a movie and you go, oh, I'd really like to watch that movie. Yeah. And you go to Netflix and it says, oh, only available on DVD.
Yeah.
Here are movies that resemble that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And that resemble nothing like it, but
yeah.
But that said, you know, I'm almost appreciative that the big boys have stopped or reduced their licensing to Netflix, because I'm really enjoying watching movies from other countries. I'm watching a Chinese movie right now that's pretty cool. And, you know, it kind of makes me go look at other things that I might not have watched if there were, you know, all the recent movies are available. So that's kind of interesting. So, oh, speaking of movies, I almost forgot. I don't know if I mentioned it at the top of the podcast, but today, November 18th, is the 90th anniversary of Mickey Mouse's first appearance in Steamboat Willie. So
happy birthday, Mickey.
Happy birthday, Mickey. You hardly look over, well, whatever. You know, you look pretty good for 90. Let's see. Okay, so moving on to what I actually want to talk about. That's to Paul. So, Paul, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I bought the $30 Google USB-C earbuds. It is the only thing I've bought that was announced by Apple, Google, or Microsoft in the last 2.5 months or whatever, since September. Oh, that's not true. I bought a XS.
Okay.
So I bought an iPhone XS, and I bought a $30 earbuds. And that is it. Did you get anything?
I did, actually. My my MacBook Pro, which is about a 2012, maybe.
Okay.
It started acting a little strange.
Okay.
And it started throwing errors and giving me beep codes when I turned it on. And so I yanked half of the RAM out of it.
Okay.
And it seemed to be okay.
Yeah.
It went from 16 gigs of RAM down to 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, which is still good. It
did well.
Yeah.
But I got nervous. So I went out and got a new MacBook Pro.
Oh, a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Which size?
This spiffy, nifty, 15-inch, half-inch thick gray one.
Okay. Now, why did you buy a MacBook Pro instead of, say, a MacBook Air or whatever?
Well, so I bought it just before the new MacBook Airs.
Okay.
And also, I want the bigger screen because I'm old. Glasses.
And so is this the one with or without the touch bar?
It does have the touch bar.
Okay. And I mean, go ahead.
It's got, so it's got 32 gigs of RAM. It's got a terabyte solid state drive.
Right.
It's outrageously expensive. But if you look at anything on the PC side with this kind of horsepower, it's twice as big and twice as heavy.
Yeah. 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 That is a nicely configured device. And of course, you use it for your work. So this is not, you don't use this to play Fortnite every night. So, well, you might, but that's not its main purpose. Not its main purpose. Any pretty happy with it so far?
You know, I am, except for one issue.
The keyboard.
Which is the mail app. The mail app crashes on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And it crashes to the point where even after I force quit it,
yeah,
I can't restart the machine. If I try and restart the machine, the little thing just spins and spins and spins, you know, that little wheel that spins as you're shutting down. And I've left it for like 3 hours and never shuts down. So I have to force it to shut down by holding the power button down for 5 seconds.
Right. And then go, pooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on a daily basis, I'm doing this forced reset, which I'm not.
Have you considered changing your mail app?
Well, it's the Apple Mail app.
Oh, you can't. Doesn't Apple Mail work with anything else?
What do you mean?
Doesn't it work with any other app?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could put in Thunderbird or something like that.
Yeah. But you like Apple's mail app.
I
never use it, so Yeah.
Okay. I don't like native Gmail.
Yeah.
And I have probably 15 or 20 email addresses.
Right.
That I've collected over the years. Right. So this does a really good job of amalgamating them all and right. giving it to me in a easily digestible format.
Right.
So, and I'm used to it. Upgrading to Mojave may fix my problem.
Yeah.
I haven't tried that yet.
Okay. Oh, you haven't upgraded to Mojave yet?
No, because, you know, there's a few things I use.
Yeah.
That I went online and they go, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't quite work with Mojave, so.
I've run into that in the past, yeah. The apps aren't ready yet.
Like Log Me In. I mean, Log Me In is something I use for my clients on a daily basis.
Right.
And they go, oh, yeah, it doesn't really work. So I go, that's okay. Maybe not going to upgrade yet.
Yeah. Well, that's perfectly understandable. And what do you think of the keyboard? I mean, I've heard lots of complaints, but some people don't care and say it's fine.
It's it takes some getting used to. It's not my favorite keyboard ever.
Yeah.
I actually bought. Hang on a second here.
Okay.
A.
What is that? Looks like a clicky keyboard.
It's a clicky keyboard.
Oh, with big travel. Like huge travel.
Yeah, and it's got the Cherry MX keys.
Yeah.
And it lights up, it sings, it dances, it makes coffee.
Right.
But it's a big old fashioned clicky keyboard.
Yeah.
Which is really lovely. So compared to that, the new MacBook Pro keyboard sucks, but it's perfectly usable.
Yeah. So when you're on the move, you don't feel like you're scratching your eyes out when you're using the keyboard.
No,
which
no,
is what some people think of it.
It did take some getting used to, but it's not terrible.
Okay, it's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. And you got may I ask why you have 30? I've never had a PC with that much RAM in it. 32 gigs. The most I have is 8, I think.
Well, because I tend to keep my machines for several years,
yeah,
I was attempting to future-proof it.
Ah, okay. And I should note, I am using the newest machine in my home. Well, that's not true. My daughter's newer machine. I am using the newest machine I have in the home, which is 2013 MacBook Air, which I got from my daughter when I got her a new one last year. So, you know, I don't even know what it's like to have a new PC anymore. I have not bought up. I've literally not bought a new PC since 2013, I think. Oh, that's not true. Maybe I bought a desktop that I never turn on anymore a couple of years ago when my other desktop died. It's funny. I with the iPad and now the Google Chromebook, which I know people may recall that Paul and I bought our Samsung Google Chromebooks Plus at the same time. I loved mine and kept it, and Paul didn't love his and returned it, which is kind of sad. So except for recording these podcasts, I generally use a Chromebook for, you know, kind of email and all that other stuff. And for everything else, I use an iPad Pro.
Well, let me tell you the other reason for the 32 gigs of
memory. Okay.
I often simultaneously run Mac OS X, Windows XP, Windows 7, Windows 10, and Ubuntu Linux at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is super easy to do on this machine. I just two key clicks and I can switch between any of those OSs.
Nice. And what are you using? Are you using Parallels or VMware or?
Parallels.
Parallels? Yeah. Yeah. When my daughter went to grad school, I got her. She didn't want to get a PC. I think I told you the story. She didn't want to get a Windows PC. She wanted a Mac because that's what she's been using since freshman year in high school. And I said, okay. But her school required her to use Office for Windows, specifically Office Windows. Said you can't use Office for Mac. And as John and I have discussed, presumably because Excel macros don't work in Office for Mac.
Right.
But so I bought her Parallels. I had to buy a copy of Windows. And installed that for her, but she hasn't had any problems with it. So, you know, Parallels is awesome. And of course, if you want to buy the $5 earthquake in Fiji, if you want to buy the, I don't know what it costs, $5 O'Reilly book I wrote in 2004 on how to use the original version of Parallels on a Mac. There you go. You know, I'll get my 5 cents check in the mail every so often. But any rate. And okay, and I see in the show notes you bought something. How do you pronounce that? How do you pronounce this thing? EUFY. You know,
I say Eufy, but I could be wrong. I was wrong about Asus, so.
Well, what is Asus? Well, how were you pronouncing it?
I didn't know how to pronounce it.
And I assume it's Asus, isn't it?
I tried Asus, and I'm assuming Asus is correct.
I think it is. That's how I see it. Well, I think it's correct because that's how I see it.
Okay.
So EUFY, and then you pronounce it the way you like, I guess.
Yeah, so I say it as Eufy, but
yeah,
it's a Kickstarter project.
Okay.
So it's one of these things that, you know, I put money into a year ago and crossed my fingers, and
yeah,
it just showed up at my doorstep the other day.
Nice.
And what it is it's a security camera.
Yeah.
Which is wireless. So you don't have to have it plugged in.
Right.
And the problem with most wireless security cameras is that the batteries don't last that long.
Right.
And this one, they claim the battery lasts a year.
Hmm. What kind of battery does it use? I mean, just a...
It uses an Anker rechargeable battery.
Hmm.
So they have a deal with Anker.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Anker owns Eufy or has invested in Eufy, but there's some kind of deal here because there's Anker logos all over it. But apparently, it's a rechargeable battery.
Mm-hmm.
Charge it for 4 hours and good for a year.
Hmm. I'm looking at it now.
I don't know that's true yet, of course, because I haven't had it for a year, but...
Right. And when did you get it? Like, literally this past week or something like that?
Yeah, literally 3 days ago.
Okay.
But it does some pretty nifty things. It does facial recognition.
Right.
So it builds a database of people who come to your front door.
Right.
And you can basically tell it what to do about certain people.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk back and forth to people at the door. It actually attaches using a fairly high-powered magnet to a ball mount.
Yeah.
So you can aim it pretty much in any direction, and you can just pop it on and pop it off.
Huh.
Which you would think, well, somebody's going to come and steal
it. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
And if somebody pops it off, other than you,
who
disarms it, it sets off a 100 decibel alarm.
Oh. I was going to say, if it set out like a 100 amp shock, that'd be better. But okay, that's fine.
Although... Even the alarm is probably going to cause them to drop it, which will be the end of the camera.
Oh. I just checked, by the way. So Eufy is, I don't want to say a subsidiary, but it was launched by the Anker people. They're calling it a sister company back in 2016. And and it is pronounced Eufy, like you said. And it makes like a RoboVac, like the Roomba, I guess, as well as a few other things. So... They started off making robo vacuum cleaners like a Roomba, and there you go, Eufy, a sister company of Anker, which I like a lot. I like Anker a lot. So why did you get this one instead of, say, a Ring doorbell? Because it's completely battery operated?
Yeah, it's completely battery operated. It's Wi-Fi. I can put it literally anywhere in my house without having to worry about getting power to it.
Oh, and how much is it, or was it?
So I bought it again on Kickstarter with the early bird, whatever, and I think it was $179.
Oh, okay. So it's not terribly expensive, but not cheap.
No, I believe now that it's $219 or something.
Oh, okay.
It's
not. Okay.
Okay. But the picture quality is excellent. Does night vision too, of course.
Let me see. I think, I'm trying to see if it's on Amazon. Let me see. Because that's how I am, as a fraidy cat, I've never bought through Kickstarter or eBay.
Or eBay?
Nope.
Well, you are a fraidy cat.
I am. And I see that there are different kinds of Eufy cameras on Amazon. And it starts at 220 or 230, let's call it, and goes up to 300 for different... No, the 300, sorry. The 230 is the camera and the 300, which looks like the camera is actually a vacuum cleaner, just bigger. They have the same physical design. They're both round, and
The camera I have is about the size and shape of a potato.
Okay.
So that may not be the one you're looking at.
Okay. Yeah. Though Boy, they have all kinds of different things here. They have a Eufy. What is this thing? It's like a $35 something or other. I just don't know. It looks like a speaker, maybe. Yeah, they've got a Eufy smart speaker that works with a whole bunch of stuff. It's $30. I gotta go investigate this, see what else Eufy has. Voice-controlled smart speaker.
As far as I know, the camera is still a Kickstarter.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe all this other stuff is a robo vacuum cleaner. Let's see. Cleaning smart. They also sell light bulbs. They have Eufy light bulbs and smart switches. And they've got some kind of, I don't know what this is. Oh, they've got scales. Eufy scales. Huh. Interesting. I shall.
Like weight scale?
Yeah. You know, bathroom scale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. $40 and $45. I'm not sure what the difference is. I kind of need a new scale. The old Bluetooth scale I bought broke a while back, and I haven't replaced it.
Yeah, mine did also, and I replaced it with one from Costco.
That's okay. Not yeah, we bought the same one way back when, as I recall. The Y-Things?
Yes.
One of those. Okay, let's see. Where are we? So that's about all I have. You know, it's just kind of a slow week. Except Paul hasn't seen this in a while, so I'm gonna vent. So this is my $160 or whatever Apple Smart Connector keyboard for the iPad Pro 9.7. Can you see that?
I can see it. It's horrible.
Yeah. It looks like somebody put it through. And you know me, Paul. I am not rough with my devices. I treat them with great care and respect. And I don't know. Apple's covers in general have not been very good for me. And especially when you pay $160, I expect it to last a little longer.
I found that to be true of the high-priced Apple leather iPhone case as well.
Yeah. So when I got my iPad 10.5, I paid $11 at Amazon for this, you know, magnetic. It's not a keyboard case, but it's actually holding up pretty well. It's over a year old now, so. $11, I'm pretty happy with it. No complaints. All right, Paul. You have anything else that's interesting?
Well, I don't know interesting, but you're kind of a fan of old movies.
Yes, I am.
And I am as well. And have you seen the new remake of A Star is Born?
No, I have not. I know what you're talking about, but I have not seen it.
So the original one was in 1937 with Janet Gaynor and Frederick March.
Yes.
And then there was one in 1955 with Judy Garland and James Mason.
Yes.
Then 1976 with Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson.
All right. That's the one I know.
And now
of. Yeah.
The new one has Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Right.
And I was literally blown away because at the end of it, when they are rolling the credits, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper wrote all of the songs.
Oh.
I didn't even know Bradley Cooper could sing.
Yeah, me either.
And he does a fabulous job. She does a She has a much better singing voice than I would have given her credit for.
Yeah.
From hearing her pop stuff. And the storyline followed the original storyline. And it was really well done. The music was terrific.
Well, if we're going to diverge from tech, I will say this about Lady Gaga. Go look up on YouTube her duets with Tony Bennett.
Okay.
I think you will be surprised again. I know I was. I mean, I've heard Lady Gaga's, you know, pop stuff, but I was really impressed with her duets with Tony Bennett. I thought they were spectacular. And going the same line, since diverging, have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
I have not, but I want to.
I highly recommend it. I wasn't even going to go see it, but my wife and daughter went, so I said, okay, I'll go too. Since I'm a fan of Queen, although I was kind of pooped out and stuff, but I went, and wow, it's a really good movie. How accurate is it? I don't know enough about them to say, but it's really entertaining. And if half of it is true, it is really interesting from a fan's historical perspective. So recommend that.
I understand the actor did a really good job with the vocals.
I don't know how much he sang. I do know that they used like the runner up or the winner of the Freddie Mercury, like, singing competition, you know, sound-like competition. So I'm not sure who sang what when, but they do give appropriate credit to, you know, whoever. And it's not the current frontman of Queen. Adam Lambert, which surprised me. I thought they would use him. But even more so, if you go listen to the interviews with Brian May, the, you know, the lead guitarist and writer of many of the songs, including We Will Rock You. That's also interesting to listen to his perspective of the movie and, you know, other stuff.
And astrophysicist.
And astrophysicist. In fact, there is a All Things, I think it's All Things Considered, or no, it was a Fresh Air interview with Brian May. And he's talking about how they got the acoustics for recording We Will Rock You, and which was done, you know, decades ago before we had all these digital audio modifiers that are available now. And he said that when he was calculating how to get the right sound for the foot stomping, it is based on getting the reflection of the sound in prime numbers. Yes. So that's how he calculated how to get the echoes properly. Well, not echo. I guess it's not quite a reverb, but it's somewhere between delay. It's a delay. So he used prime numbers to calculate when the delay should, you know, and based on the size of the room. And
so like a Fibonacci sequence or something.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was kind of fun. Not something you expect to hear a rock star say, I think. All right. Well, with that then, we have, it's amazing, you know, every time John and I start a podcast, sometimes we'll start like, John, I got nothing. And you go, yeah, me too. Yeah, we'll fill up 35 minutes. And here we are at 34 minutes and 45 seconds. So we have done it again.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you accepting my last minute. I wasn't going to do one. I said, I have stuff I want to talk about. You know, I want to talk about, I was excited to get my $30 Pixel earbuds, you know, so I want to talk about that. Unboxing video and multi-blog review, no, not really, coming. And complain about my Apple keyboard. And have a happy Thanksgiving, Paul.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
And maybe we'll talk again real soon, like next weekend, since the good Dr. Westfall will still be on a super secret mission next weekend. Okay, that's it, folks. Movie Views Podcast 276 has been Todd Agassi Award. My special guest co-host, Paul Lawler. We'll talk to you next time.